If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of West Central Indiana comes the weekly voice of reason in our very unreasonable world with the new Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on ConservativeNationRadio.org. You hear us each week on Blog Talk Radio trying to help the American people retain what God has given us through the Constitution and the founding documents of this great country. You are listening to Hour 1 of the show with your infidel sitting behind the silver CNR microphone of freedom and liberty. And now, here is your host, Robert Garden.
Good afternoon, folks. We got ourselves another beautiful day here in Indiana. A women's cancer study, a tall tale, the study of 20,928 postmenopausal women found that tall women have a greater risk for cancer than short women, and the American Association for Cancer Research reported height was linked to cancers of the breast, colon, endometrium, kidney, ovary, rectum, and thyroid. We were surprised at the number of cancer sites that were positively associated with height, said Jeffrey Kabat of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine and Yeshiva University. That is from Talk Radio News Service, and we are starting our show today. In Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals, A Practical Primer for Realistic Radicals, and lately, have you ever heard of a realistic radical? But on page 126 came this quote, "Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have." This following is from the Western Center for Journalism, and while I'm reading this, remember that quote. As the amnesty debate rages on, and yes, folks, even after the Zimmerman trial and all the other things that have been happening that have taken our eyes off the ball, it is still going on. One has to ask, why is it so important to this criminal administration to give a license to illegals to come into America? While most Americans are under the delusion that that people favor this administration, the real question is, who exactly supports Barack Hussein Obama? Let's go down memory lane and recollect just who, or so you've been told, gives him all this support. If you remember correctly, CNN's president resigned last year due to the low viewership it received. But maybe this will shed some light as to why he really resigned. Amber Lyon, former news anchor for CNN, said she was ordered to report fake stories, delete unfriendly stories adverse to the Obama administration, and construct stories in specific manners while working for the left-wing network. Lyon said that CNN is paid by the U.S. and foreign governments for reporting on some events and not reporting on others. She also stated that the Obama administration pays for CNN content. The New York Times actually blurted out the truth in their confusion, to their credit, I might add, that all information coming out of the Obama administration is first vetted. Or what about MSNBC? I'm sorry I even have to bring them into the equation, but their slogan during the election campaign happened to be Lean Forward, which is directly derived from the communist playbook. MSNBC parades people like radical lesbian Rachel Maddow, the shameful uncivil rights wannabe leader Al Sharpton, and Chris, it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head, Matthews. These are just a few. More in a moment. This is Robert the Infidel Garding with this edition of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through ConservativeNationRadio.org, the network that is growing, and there's nothing Obama and the left can do about it. We're serious about conservatism and America. You can access us at ConservativeNationRadio.org, and you can email me at Robert at conservativenationradio.org. And welcome to the show on this fine day of the 27th of July, 2013. The number to call in is 718-305-7176. And now the show continues. MSNBC's ratings can't get any lower than a snake's belly. And this is continuing from what I was talking about before. And that is just where they happen to be right now. These outlets are the ones that are attempting to remind those who do not have enough common sense to know right from wrong that Barack Hussein Obama has the support of the majority of Americans. Now, remember last week on my show, my clip of Carney telling us that they had support of 90% of Americans and that the Republican Party is voting against that 90%. Remember? Well, nothing could be farther from the truth. Don't you remember that in the 2010 elections, 63 Democratic representatives were unseated? They don't like us to remember that because that number of losses is huge, folks. It is really huge. Do you remember that Barack Hussein Obama had to move to the 2012 Democratic Convention from a 74,000-seat arena to a 20,000-seat arena? And he still couldn't fill the seats by giving away free tickets. I remember I blogged a photo of the nearly empty arena during the convention, did an article on it, and later, after Obama won, couldn't help but think of voter fraud because the people just were not there when Obama was. A sign he didn't have the support to win, but win he did. Do you remember when it was reported in Milwaukee that people filled up an 18,000-seat arena to see Barack Hussein Obama, when in fact there were only 5,000 seats available? Yes, folks, we have to remember these. Do you remember that 70% of Obama's Twitter followers were found to be fake accounts, created out of thin air? Do you remember when Stevie Wonder couldn't get 200 people to show up for a fundraiser for Obama? Getting the picture here, folks? Did you forget that during the re-election inauguration, there weren't enough people in Washington, D.C. to fill up the hotel rooms, something that had never happened before? And, of course, you surely haven't forgotten the massive voter fraud that took place in the United States in the last election. And, yes, Virginia, it happened. Communist dictator Joseph Stalin said, "Those who cast the votes decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything." Good afternoon, Alaskan. And after that one, you know, we have to ask, you know, what about all those black supporters? Let's talk about all those black supporters. Don't you remember that in that 7 in 10 black voters supported the Proposition 8 marriage decision? You know, the one that said marriage was to be between a man and a woman? That goes completely against Obama. The black population is also waking up to the fact that Obama is Planned Parenthood's greatest advocate. So who supports Barack Hussein Obama? Well, the homosexuals, who make up less than 1.7% of the population, do. The very ones who are being used as a political battering ram only to make way for Sharia law, something that I don't think that they have even realized yet, but hopefully the light is coming on that one. Planned Parenthood supports him, only to be used as that same political battering ram to eradicate human life under the guise of choice. Now, remember, in truth, that is nothing more than population control. And remember last week when I talked about that cartoon at the beginning of my show showing a woman's right to choose? In effect, Obama's support only comes from those who are at war with our constitutional republic and those who are at war with God, who was the one who gave us our rights to establish our republic in the first place. Remember, a few weeks ago, Obama called us a democracy? We're not. And if our president can't tell us what we are, then we've got the wrong person in the White House. Within the United States, Obama enjoys support from the homosexuals, the abortionists, and communists. outside the United States, countries like Cuba, Venezuela, China, Russia, and the Muslim Brotherhood, etc., have expressed their support for Obama as well. Have you ever wondered why? No wonder this administration sees fit to lean forward to open the floodgates to illegal immigration. So does this administration have the support you might think they have? Absolutely not. Remember what Saul Alinsky said now, and here again is that quote I ask you to remember. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Do not be deceived when you have both eyes open. It seems this doesn't seem to be need to be said, but look at what is going on in this nation now. We have both eyes open for the first time in many generations, and yet Obama and the left are still working against us in so many ways that a lot of us still do not realize just how bad things are getting. People are being frauded here, and sadly, most are beginning to start thinking in those directions, and it's just starting to think in those directions. Even after the years of lying and inactivity when it comes to the American economy and how well it is supposedly doing, told to us by the government, a lot of people still do not get it. And to me, that is a really scary thing, to, you know, to have all of this stuff happening and most people still don't get it. And out of those most are waking up, but they still don't completely get it. It's scary as hell to me that this nation is so close to being shoved in the wrong direction, down the toilet, and nobody realizes it yet. Kind of scary, huh? Like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher bring you the Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m., Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Dependable is hardly enough to describe our two main men and their awesome show. Hey, it wouldn't be Conservative Nation Radio without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, now would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down.
You know, that speech wasn't really that long ago in the scheme of things. But it brings me back to the same thing. Last week I asked the question many times, why isn't someone confronting the Democrats and the politicians when they lie to us and call them on it? Well, in fact, someone is. But the problem is it doesn't happen when the events happen because only the media is there and they are in bed with these leftist politicians. They do not want to upset the apple cart, for they will go over with it. They only report what they are told to report, but the word is getting out here because Obama and the left cannot stop me or Conservative Nation Radio or the Blaze Network or Fox News when they do the right thing or any number of other outlets, most of whom I do quote from here. We are growing in strength, much to the chagrin of the left, and there is nothing they can do about it short of imprisoning all of us. We are the last great hope for mankind. Once America is gone, folks. So is that hope.
That is right. That ain't my America. The new Wise Conservatism radio show will be right back after these important messages. Stay tuned for more truth busting.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay. A public memorial was held at Cherry Creek State Park for the one-year anniversary of the Aurora Theater shooting. The event was marked not only by the remembrances of the 12 killed and the 58 wounded on July 20th, 2012, but also for the hundreds of gun violence victims across the country, whose names were read aloud for more than 11 hours leading up to the moment shots rang out 1 year ago at 12:38 a.m. And actually, that should have been, I think, 12:38 p.m. But despite that, it was attended by vocal groups on both sides of the gun control debate that are used to locking horns over the issue, and it was largely subdued and respectful. Gun rights groups called for a counter rally earlier in the week because New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg's group, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, organized the event. Second Amendment advocates saw that as a crass exploitation of the tragedy for political gain. Dudley Brown, the director of the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, told the local TV the day before the event that they're walking on the graves of these victims to get to the cameras and the microphones to advance gun control. We're answering it by encouraging gun owners to show up as well. This is a clear case of politicians, Mayor Bloomberg, using the tragedies to advance his gun control agenda, and we're going to answer that every time. Advocates for gun control compared Brown's call for a counter-protest to the Westboro Baptist Church, the Kansas group that belligerently protests the funerals of service members and others to express their disagreement with gay rights issues. The theater shooting survivor, Mark Barton, had stopped in Aurora a year ago while cross-country cycling trip and treated his host to the midnight showing of The Dark Knight Rises. He and his friends arrived early to get good seats, not knowing that which seats we chose were going to have a pretty serious impact on our future, he said. Barton was shot in the face, neck, and torso with the shotgun, and just like that, our lives were turned upside down, unquote. Attorneys for accused gunman James Holmes admitted in court papers that Holmes opened fire on the packed theater. Police say he carried a variety of weapons, and we all know this, including the shotgun, an AR-15 with a 100-round drum magazine, which brought up all that crap from the Colorado representative lady who was trying to tell us that those things will go out of style as soon as all the bullets are gone because they can't be reloaded. Well, yeah, that was wrong. But the experiences that Barton had led him to the involvement in Bloomberg's MAIG, where he acts as an outreach and policy advocate. Like most Americans, I never believed that I would be a victim of gun violence, he said. I wished I cared earlier about this issue. But the problem is now he's carrying in the wrong direction. The shootings in Newtown and Aurora were also behind historic new laws in Colorado that place limits on certain weapon components and new responsibilities on the people who buy and sell guns. Among the controversial new laws are bans on ammunition magazines that hold more than 15 rounds, like I had mentioned a little bit ago, and the universal background checks, even for private sales or trades to be paid for by the buyer. Despite explosive opposition by gun rights advocates, the laws easily passed through the Democratic-controlled state legislature were signed by Governor John Hickenlooper and went into effect July 1st. But the political fallout continues. Just days before the theater massacre's one-year anniversary, a Denver judge ruled against two Democratic senators who had supported the bills and who were trying to have recall elections against them tossed out on a technicality. That didn't work. The company that manufactures 30-round magazines is preparing to move out of the state because of the new laws, and as many as 10 rural counties held meetings to seriously discuss breaking away from Colorado to form the 51st state. We are having so much fun. Gun control, among other issues advanced by Democrats during the legislative sessions, has energized the Republican Party for the 2014 elections, but more than anything, the new laws have kept tensions at a low boil between those on both sides of the debate, and I really don't think it has, but the protesters saw the involvement of MAIG in Friday's events as direct provocation. Absolutely, it's political. The trouble here is, folks, the left and the people who want gun control instituted here in America do not want to talk about this unless it goes their way. They want to do nothing but force their ideas and plans on the rest of us. To hell with what the Constitution says about it. To them, we are just not smart enough to have our own guns and own them and know what to do with them. And on top of that, they are a tyrannical government. You know, the one that the Constitution warned us about. And they know that the Constitution gives us the right to bear arms and to stop a tyrannical government if it comes down to that. And, folks, that point is coming and coming fast. From Newsmax.com comes this from Senator John McCain, and it seems he has fallen off the wagon again. He tells Newsmax that Americans overwhelmingly want immigration reform. Yeah. Posted on Monday of July 22nd, Jim Myers and Kathleen Walter comes up with this one. Senator John McCain tells Newsmax that American people overwhelmingly want the Senate and the House to come to an agreement on immigration reform. The Arizona Republican, in name only, and the 2008 presidential candidate also says he will do, quote, everything in my power, unquote, to see that Obamacare is repealed. Well, he's got his head on straight somewhere, but then he warns that shutting down the government is not the way to go about doing that.
What we're trying to do is galvanize our base of support, which is broad-based, broader than any coalition I've ever seen, and try to convince our colleagues to pass something and bring it to the House so we can bring it to the conference so that we can hopefully act on this issue. Overwhelmingly, the American people want us to act. Now, their varying opinion is as to how they want us to act, but they sure want us to act because almost every American knows that 11 million people living in the shadows is de facto amnesty and not what America is supposed to be all about.
In an exclusive interview with Newsmax TV on Monday, McCain comments, "I obviously appreciate that the speaker has a very difficult leadership position here. Some members of his conference don't want to vote on anything. There's some that want to vote on specific aspects of immigration reform, and there are others who want to pick up the bill. So he is in a very serious leadership position on this issue." Now, I agree, he is in a very serious leadership position because most of us are now awake enough to remember that the 1986 bill that was for the same thing that is already on the books but no one is enforcing is already there. If a new bill is passed now, what makes any of us think it will be enforced any more than the one that's on the books already? The article goes on to say, "Overwhelmingly, the American people want us to act." Now, there's varying opinions as to how they want us to act, is what was in the audio, but they sure want us to act because almost every American knows that 11 million people living here in the shadows is not what America is supposed to be all about. And there, McCain is right. That is not what America is supposed to be all about. But that is what the politicians in Washington, D.C. want it to be all about. And then he strays again. He goes on to say, "But what we need is our evangelical community, our business communities, small and large, our high-tech community, and so many others that support this bill to discuss with them ways that we can get this issue done." McCain offers his take on Republicans' piecemeal approach to immigration reform in the House. "Obviously, I would rather see a comprehensive immigration bill," he said, "but if they want to pass it piece by piece, that's an option I respect. I wish they would go comprehensive, but I respect that. I look forward to working with them." McCain also assails Obama's total lack of leadership in the Middle East, but warns that isolationists in the GOP can't withdraw to Fortress America. And my question on that is, why not? It would do America good just to pull back to our country and try to take care of the problems we have here. And with our politicians that we have on both sides of the aisle, it seems that the problems that we have here get manufactured in Washington, D.C. more and more. Because our politicians won't stop and listen to what their constituents have to say about it, but they will tell everybody what they think about it and what they think we should be doing. But that is not the way that America is supposed to be. We need to start realizing that our Constitution does not give our politicians the right to force things on us that we don't want. ConservativeNationRadio.org is now fully optimized for smartphones, such as the Android, iPhone, and others, so you can download our podcasts or listen to us wherever you are or whenever you want. Same great shows, same great people, now fully optimized for your smartphone. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And the opinions that we have on this show and ideas and views expressed by the hosts and guests and callers on ConservativeNationRadio.org are not necessarily the opinions, views, and ideas of the owners, advertisers, or management of conservatism, ConservativeNationRadio.org. Thank you for listening to ConservativeNationRadio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. And every time I listen to from McCain, it seems like he'll come out and say something that we really want him to say one week, and then the next day he'll come right out and just go right back to the way he was and fall off the wagon and bang his head on something, and all of a sudden he doesn't know what he's talking about anymore. But it seems that people like him just never seem to get unseated, which they need to. That is something that is almost imperative anymore because of the way our country is going. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Be right back after these messages.
Sorry about that.
Stay tuned for more fun and enlightenment at the expense of the liberal left. We will be right back.
Boy, I kind of just jumped the gun there. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity, security, and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. And now Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce that when you join LifeLock, you get the first 30 days free and 10% off the regular prices from then on, but only through ConservativeNationRadio.org. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to ConservativeNationRadio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and scope may vary. That's ConservativeNationRadio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
That one is one of my favorites, I think.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown-up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
When Attorney General Eric Holder ordered the Sanford, Florida Police Department to hold on to all of the evidence in George Zimmerman's trial following his acquittal on murder and manslaughter charges and the death of Trayvon Martin, he was doing more than signaling the U.S. Justice Department's plans to subject the neighborhood watch captain to double jeopardy in violation of the Constitution. By specifically telling the local police they should not return Zimmerman's gun, he was telling every American firearms owner that he had the power and the intent to take their guns too. It's really a double whammy for the Constitution, and the highest law enforcement officer in the federal government blatantly indicating ever so subliminally that he holds both the Fifth Amendment and the Second Amendment in utter contempt. The Fifth Amendment, among other things, expressly prohibits any person being subjected to criminal charges for the same offense twice, but Holder plans to do just that. The simple, straightforward meaning of the Constitution is clear. Once acquitted of a crime, no court in the U.S. can subject a citizen to another trial. But there's more than the Constitution barring Holder from authority to prosecute Zimmerman again. It's a matter of common law that predates the Constitution. In other words, what Holder is attempting to do, whatever bogus politically and radically motivated charges might be brought up against Zimmerman by the U.S. government, they represent a denial of his most basic, universal, and God-given civil rights. Yet, ironically, Holder is expected to file federal charges against Zimmerman for the denial of Trayvon Martin's civil rights. That Holder wants to limit the sweeping scope of the Second Amendment is hardly a matter of debate. His record is clear on the right of citizens to bear arms. He opposes it. On February 7, 2013, Holder made it clear that he and Barack Obama have the power to decide who has the right to bear arms and who doesn't. You can hear those comments for yourself. They're all over the internet and all over everywhere with your own ears. And watch the words come out of his own mouth on YouTube. More recently, he attacked the very notion that people have the right to defense by attacking Florida's Stand Your Ground law when he said, "There has always been a legal defense for using deadly force if, and the if is important, no safe retreat is available." But we must examine laws that take this further by eliminating the common sense and age-old requirement that people who feel threatened have the duty to retreat, unquote. A duty to retreat when attacked in a place you have every right to be? This stands the idea of a right to self-defense on its head, which is exactly the place George Zimmerman found himself when he shot Trayvon Martin. Last April, Holder wrote a letter to Kansas Governor Sam Brownback that demonstrated his contempt for the Second Amendment. Holder's missive was in response to the governor signing into law that stated, "Any act, law, treaty, order, rule, or regulation of the government of the United States which violates the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is null and void and unenforceable in the state of Kansas." Any supporter of the Second Amendment should be delighted with such an affirmation of the Constitution. Holder was not. He wrote back, "In purporting to override federal law and criminalize the official acts of federal officers, SB 102 directly conflicts with federal law and is therefore unconstitutional." Wait a minute. Was Holder admitting that some federal laws violate the U.S. Constitution? If not, what was he worried about? And let's not forget that Holder was the architect of the Fast and Furious program that had federal law enforcement officers selling guns to the Mexican drug cartels in an apparent bid to gin up support for more gun confiscation when those firearms were later used to kill Americans. Indeed, they were. At least two U.S. law enforcement officers were later killed by criminals with those very weapons, a scandalous crime for which Holder has thus far managed to avoid accountability. But that's kind of like the whole administration, I think. But it's not just the Constitution Holder holds in contempt. He was also held in contempt of Congress. On June 8, 2012, by a House of Representatives vote of 255-67, with 17 Democrats voting for the measure, Holder became the first Attorney General in American history to be held in contempt of Congress in connection with his refusal to turn over documents subpoenaed in the Fast and Furious investigation. That's one way of beating the rap, and so far he has been successful. His determination to promote his radical agenda by any means necessary should never be underestimated. Holder is a lot like Jay Carney in that they sit high on that ivory tower and look down on the people, thinking that the masses below do not know anything and need to be taught everything that we know, and that the Constitution means nothing at all. It is a flawed document, like the Obama thinks, and needs to be gotten rid of, which brings me to my point. Why in the heck do we keep reelecting the people who will place people like this who hate the Constitution into positions of power? I never could understand that. But why do we keep electing people who hate this country as it was founded? People, these are great questions that I have not heard a plausible answer for yet. Do you have an answer for me on that one? My only answer is that people do not care, or they are lazy and want the kind of government that will give them whatever they need. Now, here's the problem with that. Any government big enough to give you everything you want is also big enough to take everything you have. All you have to do is look around, people. It is already happening all over this great nation. In Chicago, people are not even allowed to own guns, yet it has the highest murder rate in the nation. Really? When are we going to stop these politicians from destroying this nation? I just have to keep asking these questions because I absolutely have no clue as to what people are thinking when they vote these idiots into office, except that they want a bigger government that will give them everything they want without having to work for it. And the problem is, just like I said, you get a government that's big enough to give you everything you want, it will be a government big enough to take everything you have in any way, shape, and form that it desires to do it. So, when are we going to stop these politicians from destroying this nation? Soon, I hope. Conservative Nation Radio is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from the Volunteer State, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guest to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, which was an ad that I ran, probably about 20 minutes ago or so. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. And welcome to everybody who is in the chat room. When the United States reaches the point of no return, folks, the majority of people will probably shout out and say something like, "Why didn't we stop this before it was too late?" The trouble is, at the rate that it seems we're going, by the time we start asking that question, it will be too late. Well, the reasons, like I said, is laziness and other things. And in the next story that I have here, this one about the most liberal cities, one of the most liberal cities in the United States, Detroit. Of course, you'll have heard all about this one, how it is the latest liberal city to file bankruptcy. I mentioned it last week on this show, and when I said that Rand Paul was back at it again, saying that Detroit would be bailed out over his dead body, well, thank God somebody gets it. I did a post on my blog at wiseconservatism.com on Sunday where I asked the most pertinent question I think I have heard this whole financial mess this country is in, and that is, Detroit, left the city in ruins. Should Americans be wary? I wrote, the city of Detroit filed for bankruptcy in federal court July 18th, signifying the official advent of failure from one of America's most liberal cities. And that little line came from Breitbart.com. It seems that when something in this nation fails and it is conservative in nature, the news media will cover it relentlessly for weeks, maybe months, just to get their point across. But for Detroit, a city that is one of America's most liberal cities, its failure and coming bankruptcy do not seem to be newsworthy to the big three. So in order for us to know what is going on there, we have to turn to Breitbart and The Blaze and networks like that, for CBS, NBC, ABC, and MSNBC will not cover it. from the article that I quoted from above titled Detroit, A City in Ruins and a Warning for America, comes this. January 2nd, 1962 was the last day that a Republican held the mayor's office, and the city has been under uninterrupted Democratic and union rule ever since. What was once such a powerful hub of industry and prosperity has caved under the weight of big government and big union policies. Liberalism is not oppressive as much as it is depressive, and there is no better example of this than Detroit, with its 48 unions and nearly $20 billion in debt, an entire third of which is unfunded health care liabilities for city retirees. Detroit saw its peak population of nearly 2 million in 1950 dwindle to about 700,000 today. Of those 700,000, a third live under the poverty level. And that, to me, is sad, folks. There is, it's something that's completely wrong, I think.
When trouble comes in the name of liberalism, it rains bedlam and dismay. Listen for more ways to fix what the liberals have made wrong in this country when we return after these short messages.
Wildfires burn millions of acres each year. And each year, wildland firefighters like Fire Chief James Hall battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone.
A single ember that escapes from a wildfire can travel more than a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home, your community, or more. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. But you can do something firefighters can't. You can act now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. You can reduce the risk. Do your part. Go to fireadapted.org.
Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you wish to call in and join in the discussion, the number is 718-305-7176. Excuse me. From the ClashDaily.com comes this one by R.G. Yoho, titled, Hey America, Heroes Needed. Throughout our nation's history, the United States has often experienced great moments of national crisis. But no matter how deep the sea or how dark the sky or how black the night, America always had a hero stepped forward during this moment of crisis. In the bitter cold and despair of Valley Forge, the battle for American independence appeared to be nearly lost. However, General Washington would lead his troops in a decisive victory at Trenton. When the troops were stalled by the German guns in Europe, Alvin York decided he must silence those guns and begin a desperate flanking movement. When America needed steel to become the economic power house that it would eventually become, Andrew Carnegie risked everything to produce it. When a nation coming out of a war was trying to find a way to unite all of its citizens of every color, Branch Rickey signed a young man named Jackie Robinson to play for the Brooklyn Dodgers. When our embassy in Tehran had fallen, when 52 Americans had been held captive for 444 days and the U.S. was mired in an economic recession, President Ronald Reagan showed up, showed that even an assassin's bullets wouldn't keep him from making the country strong again. America's heroes have often been scouts or trailblazers, discoverers or pioneers leading us across the continent or to the vast reaches of the moon. Many of our heroes have been soldiers and generals, lifting us from bitter moments of defeat to great and often unforeseen military victories. And despite much of the left's insane hatred for them now, a number of our heroes were great industrialists supplying the ingenuity and material to help our nation grow. Our heroes have been scientists and doctors discovering the cures for diseases and increased production of crops. Our heroes have been inventors lighting our world, producing the machines that reap our crops and would carry us on highways, on the nation's highways. Some of our heroes used to come from the world politics, men who longed to serve others with little thought of how their actions might enrich their own power. Oftentimes, our heroes have been the unknown or unheralded, dying in lonely battlefields, laboring in obscurity, and simply trying to make the way better for those who would later follow them. However, America is once again facing a moral, economic, and spiritual crisis. Our nation is starving for leadership. Our nation is crying out for some heroes. But sadly and increasingly, America learns it cannot turn to Washington for heroes or leadership. In a time when our country has finally proven to the entire world that it's not a land of racial hatred by virtue of electing a black man to America's highest office, that man doesn't appeal to our better angels. Instead, our president incites our bitter anger by seeking to rekindle the fires of racial strife. On Capitol Hill, we witness the members of both parties more interested in passing legislation than they are with preserving liberty. America is desperately looking for heroes. Perhaps we need to remind ourselves that we will not find our real heroes in Washington or Hollywood. Perhaps we should go back to looking for them in the places we've always found them. America's heroes can often be found in our homes and churches. They are our parents, pastors, priests, and rabbis. Other heroes are wearing military uniforms or swapping stories at the local VFW. With the problems America is facing now, she is currently searching for heroes. Auditions are being held in your homes and communities. The qualifications for the positions are indeed high. There are no age limits. The position is open to everyone, regardless of sex, race, or religion. It requires love, sacrifice, perseverance, faith, hard work, patriotism, dedication, self-reliance, and a desire to inspire those same qualities in others around you. America desperately needs you right now. Perhaps you will choose to apply for the position. If qualified, you can start today. I found that article at ClashDaily.com. I think it was on Tuesday. And it seemed to ring a bell with me. I know that, you know, I've never considered myself a hero. But when you look at it that way, somebody has to put the word out that America is being led in the complete wrong direction. And if we listen to the liberal politicians in Washington, and even ones who say they're Republicans, but they're really not, all we get from them is that America is bad. America is horrible. America needs to be taken down at least a few notches to make us think that we need to stop being so arrogant and stop being so full of ourselves and stop being so sure that America is the country that can help the world. Well, the problem with that is that America, since World War II, has been the nation that has helped the world. And the problem with that is that we keep electing these idiots in Washington who want to tell us just exactly the opposite of what is going on. And the problem with that is that you hear a lie enough, sooner or later, people will start believing that lie as the truth. And we've seen a lot of this happening over the past 10, 15 years, at least I have. I've watched this. I have lived this. And I know most of the people who listen to my show and most of the people who read my blog and watch my videos on the internet have seen this too. Most are too busy with their own lives to say anything about it. That is fine. I don't care. But we need to have some heroes out here who will let us know that, hey, this country is being led wrong. This country is being led in the wrong direction. And the whole world is laughing at us now. We're no longer the world power that we were at the end of World War II. How many people laughed at America at the end of World War II? Nobody did. They knew that we meant business and we carried it right out to the end. Then after we destroyed Germany and Japan, we went in and helped them to rebuild. How many countries in the world were great enough to do that? Not many, I can guarantee you. And then we go and elect these people who try and tell us that America is the worst country that's ever been on the face of the earth. To me, I don't care what the people think right now. I don't care if people call me up and call me an idiot and call me a terrorist, a traitor, and everything else. But we need to get these people out of office. And the sooner we do this, the better. And we have to keep in mind that in this last election, 63 Democrats were unseated in Congress. That's huge. But you never hear this in the news. You never hear this from the politicians in Washington because they don't want us to think about it. But it's something we have to think about because we actually started heading down the right direction. But we've got too many people in this nation right now who feel that the government needs to be big so it can take care of all of their ideals, everything that they need. Everything that they want, everything they eat needs to be supplied by the government. No, it doesn't. Because the government without us cannot supply anything because without us the government has no money. Plain and simple, period, stop. That's the end of the story. That is it. Being a hero for America. I know my dad was. He fought in the Philippines in World War II. If I'd have been able to, I'd have fought in Vietnam. But I wasn't able to. Health reasons. I mean, I felt I was healthy enough. I could do anything I wanted to, but I was on medication. And they wouldn't let me in. They let my best friend go. He ended up in Germany. Never got to Vietnam. But we have to be able to stop and think about the things that we need to do to save this nation because if we don't, people, it's just like Reagan said in that speech, the section of that speech that I played at the beginning of the show, we are the last great hope for mankind when it comes to freedom and having the people being the bosses of the government because once America's gone, America's gone, and there'll be no bringing her back. And it's, to me, that is one of the scariest thoughts, because I would really hate to live in a country like Russia, communist China, but that's the direction we're heading if we don't stop it. We will be right back after a few short minutes with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show. Please stay tuned.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
From the heartland of West Central Indiana comes the weekly voice of reason in our very unreasonable world with the new Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on conservativenationradio.org. You hear us each week on Blog Talk Radio trying to help the American people retain what God has given us through the Constitution, the founding documents of this great nation. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show with your infidel sitting behind the silver C&R microphone of freedom and liberty. Here again is your host, Robert Garding.
One of the things that totally surprised me this week was off of MSNBC, where Joe Scarborough totally dressed down Jay Carney and told him that he didn't want the talking points and didn't want the games that he always plays, and he wanted the truth. But Jay Carney still wouldn't stop. He kept blaming the Republicans for everything, from the phony scandals to gridlock. Joe Scarborough jumped all over the phony scandals part, but that didn't slow down Carney either from still blaming the Republicans. Here's some of what he had to say about the debt ceiling.
In the summer of 2011, when there was the fight over raising the debt ceiling, and even though leaders in the Republican Party insisted they didn't want the economy, the country to default for the first time in its history, some members of the House said they embraced that idea. And the mere flirtation with default, the mere flirtation with the idea that for the first time in our history America would not pay its bills, caused great economic harm and hurt the middle class. And we can't do that again.
You know, and one of the things that he said there was that the first time in American history that we couldn't pay our bills. Well, didn't that happen already when we got our AAA rating downgraded for the first time in American history? Didn't seem to matter to them then. So why is it mattering to them now? But now it seems to me that no matter what happens in this administration, no matter what they do, it is always someone else's fault. The blame never lies in the administration or Obama or Holder or any one of those idiots. And Carney is saying that the Republicans wanting to make America default on its debt for the first time in history seemed to make him bristle by saying that something like that shouldn't happen, and the Republicans are flirting with that idea and doing something that like that isn't good for America. Well, Mr. Carney, even though most likely you will never hear my voice, I will school you on this. First off, where were you when this was happening with our AAA credit rating? It had never been lowered either, but now it has. It didn't seem to matter to you guys. When it comes to debt, it is never good to kick the can down the road, as you guys in Washington are so good at doing. Raising the debt limit is never good when the debt is over $16 trillion, Mr. Carney. When is too much too much? Can't you people get it through your thick skulls that we are in financial trouble here with your kicking the can down the road constantly and then raising the debt ceiling yet again and having the audacity to come right back in the same sentence and tell us that the national debt has been reduced? Sir, if it had been reduced, then there would have been no reason for raising the debt ceiling in the first place. And if the debt ceiling had been reduced, then there would be no worries of paying our bills. Period, sir. We are not as stupid as you think we all are. But if you really had done your job and the national debt had actually been reduced, then why is it necessary to raise the debt ceiling? We get this one from you guys in Washington every 6 months or so, and every time it is the same thing. We need to raise the debt ceiling so the bills can be paid. But on the brighter side, we have lowered the national debt. Really? Really, Mr. Carney? Another point that you brought up, sir, is that there is no question that the activity at the IRS was inappropriate, and the president made clear that he wanted to take care of it, and he appointed somebody who's doing that. But didn't the president appoint someone of questionable qualifications? You know, someone who had been part of another shakeup in Washington and was let go there? It seems that that is the way you guys work in Washington. People you want in positions of power get caught doing something wrong and they get let go on the sly, then get reassigned to another post quietly. Isn't that what happened with Van Jones, sir? You people and your constant talking of polls that no one has heard of, polls that go totally against what Rasmussen or other big pollsters go for, and you quote these things like they are from the Bible, but you will never give the name of the poll or the name of the leaky or anything else. It's just another talking point to you. You leave it at that and expect us to buy it. Well, sir, we are not buying it anymore. The only thing about the stuff this week that bothers me any at all is the fact that Obama's approval rating, which they say now is lower than it's ever been, it still bugs me that it's as high as 45%. With what he and his administration, the liberal Democrats, along with some of the moderate Republicans, have done to this country, that approval rating should be about 1% or lower. The only reason it is as high as it is because so many people still have not wakened up to the fact that you are destroying this country, and if it gets destroyed, what will it mean to everyone's life who lives here in this country? Also, you guys lie constantly about what is going on, and for the most part, you get away with it. I sat and watched this interview with Jay. I can't say that it's true because I haven't heard from the right people yet, Carney, with bile in my throat, because no matter what he was confronted with, I could think of a few more things to say to him about what he was saying. And it wasn't being said. Probably one of the reasons he hasn't responded to me asking to be on my show. Because he knows I would ask the questions and I wouldn't let him get away with the stupid talking points that Washington people seem to use to fly stuff over the heads of the peons out here. And make no mistake, people, that is what they think of each and every one of us, whether we voted for them or not. Mr. Carney, the game playing is being done by the liberals in government like you and Obama, not the conservatives. I'm really getting sick and tired of being talked down to by you and all the people in Washington because you think that we are all too dumb to get what you are talking about. sir, we know about finances. We run our homes. We know about finances. We run our own businesses. We know that if we reach a certain point where we are making less than we are taking in, something has to be done about that, or we will no longer be in business, or we will no longer own our home. We cannot just come out and say to our creditors, we are going to raise our debt limit, and that will make things okay. How plausible does that sound? Do you think the creditors would go for that? Of course they wouldn't, because it is wrong. We know it, and so should you. This country is broke, and the only way out of that is not to print more money, not to raise the debt ceiling. The way out is spending cuts across the board. The government is taking in over $1 trillion a year, and yet spending is way beyond that. Why can't you cut your constant spending and stop trying to give us new ways to think you're working on that problem when you're doing nothing of the sort? Making new government programs does nothing but spend money. Raising the minimum wage will do nothing but make things more expensive, which will mean another round of minimum wage raises. Can't you guys see the slippery slope you have us all on? The road to the liberal left and the president, the road to the liberal left and the president is on is not sustainable. You are spending more than a six-month period now. You are spending more in a six-month period now than was considered even feasible 10 years ago. Why is it feasible now? I will tell you. Because you have lied to the public and told us it needs to be done to keep the country solvent, when in fact you were just thinking of a new way to keep spending at your current levels. Spending at current levels, sir, is not sustainable. Cuts have to be made, and yes, cuts are never easy, but it has to be done to save this nation. And to bring this home in another way, from Newsmax.com magazine, or Newsmax magazine in the August 2013 issue, comes this one. When Kentucky GOP Representative Andy Barr and his wife Carol welcomed the arrival of their newborn girl in April, their birth announcement included the unusual news that their bundle of joy's share of the national debt was $53,367. In a constituent newsletter, Barr said of the national debt, "If left unchecked, it will cripple the futures of our children and our grandchildren. Want to bring the children into this, Democrats? We just did too. And ours shows a bleak future for them if your policies continue." Don't let the big liberal media fool you or anyone else. There's no war on women in the conservative movement, and we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing comes to you at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, here on Conservative Nation Radio. Listen up and then call in and be heard by real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. The number to call in and join the discussion is on the show is 718-305-7176. Senator Mike Lee of Utah is spearheading a new effort to block implementation of Obamacare, this time through the power of the purse. The House of Representatives voted recently for full repeal of Obamacare. Again, I think it's something like about the 68th or 69th or 70th time. In the wake of the Obama administration delaying the onset of the employer mandate for 1 year, the House also voted to make that change to the law and delay the start of an individual mandate until 2015 as well. Neither bill is expected to see action on the Senate floor, of course not, and Obama would certainly veto them. As a result, Lee believes that starving Obamacare of money is the best way to protect the American people from the effects of the law. Yeah. That is so true. What I think, quote, and this is a quote, "What I think everyone who opposes Obamacare should do is fund the government but refuse to fund Obamacare. The American people are overwhelmingly against this bill," said Lee, who argued the reality of rising premiums and Obama's efforts to selectively implement the law mean the American people should not be forced to fund it. The political reality of this, of course, is that the Democrats still control the Senate and Obama is still in the White House. So how would Lee's plan be any different than the other attempts to scrap Obamacare? He continues, the best way to do it is to start with a funding mechanism, a continuing resolution passing the House of Representatives that funds every other function of government at current levels, but just excludes Obamacare funding. That would come over to the Senate, and once it became apparent that was the way to keep the government funded, Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid would have to make a different, difficult decision. I think it would be hard for him to explain to the American people why he would be willing to shut down the government simply to defend doggedly this very unpopular and unfair law that's going to make health care more expensive in America. See, we have a lot of things going on here that, you know, a lot of people don't even think about, but it keeps going, doesn't it?
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
America is not a house of cards like the liberals think. It is not that easy to bring down. We will be right back after these messages so we can show you more ways the liberal left thinks we ought to go.
Peekaboo. Peekaboo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit energysavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
From WND came this one from Central Missouri at the University of Missouri. They got it from the college newspaper there. 10 college Republicans were dubbed a security threat and refused admittance to President Barack Obama's speech at the University of Central Missouri on Wednesday. Despite the fact that the students had tickets to the event, security personnel turned them away at the door to the recreation center, where Obama gave a speech on economic policy, telling the group it wasn't about their politics, but the president's safety. State treasurer of the college Republicans, Courtney Scott, told the College Fix, which is the paper that it was in. Yeah, I don't believe that for a minute. It was about because of their politics is what it was. The students had some of whom donned Tea Party T-shirts and others who wore patriotic or Republican-inspired clothing had protested the president earlier in the day on campus, but had put away their signs and said they were ready to simply listen to Obama when security shut them down, and even told them to leave the vicinity and stay several hundred yards away from the rec center. And they tell us that they don't keep us away because of our politics? Really? The students had waited in a long line and under a hot sun to wind their way to the front of the line 2 hours in advance of Obama's scheduled 5:30 p.m. remarks. Still, they were rejected. It just doesn't make any sense, Scott told the Fix. A lot of us traveled several hours to watch the speech. We were very disappointed not to be able to attend. The small group of college Republicans were confused as to why such extreme security precautions were directed at them, but not at the 2,500 other audience members who were granted admission to the event. The speech, the start of Obama's national tour to tout his latest plan to revive the sluggish national economy, drew a crowd to the university's recreation center, creating a crowded, stuffy, and stifling environment, some observers said. The intense heat of the day, coupled with the late arrival of Obama, prompted some audience members to suffer heat exhaustion, yeah, and a few even fainted. Plenty of people left the venue early prior to Obama's speech, generating seats to be filled regardless of whether students had tickets. The students' protest earlier in the day was a peaceful one, consisting of holding political speech signs and talking to passersby throughout the morning. This is something that Scott said. He's the one that was turned away. And they were asked to protest at the public speech area on campus, not anywhere near the rec center. They were not allowed within eyesight or earshot of people who were waiting in line. The MISU Republicans were among about 60 protesters, half of whom were college students who had voiced concern Wednesday over Obama's economic policies in the wake of the country's ongoing recession. Some of the signs called for capitalism. Others illustrated discontent with Missouri's 16% unemployment rate among college student youth, and the increasing share of national debt students are saddled with year by year. But it no matter what goes on, it seems like, you know, if the Democrats are ever kept out of a Republican thing, oh, God, there'd be hell to pay. We would never hear the end of it. No matter what the reason was, even if the place was on fire and we were letting everyone out the other doors and nobody was actually in there and we stopped the Democrats from coming in, it would be because we didn't want them there. But when they do the same thing to us and keep us out of areas that everybody actually is supposedly able to go, even if we've got the tickets and they keep us out, then it's not because of our politics. Oh, God, no, that's heaven forbid, that wouldn't ever happen. You know, we just want you guys not to be here because we're afraid that you might not be safe in there or something stupid like that. And it's the whole thing comes down to the point, and it's just like Lady Michelle said, they don't even want opposition in there to show that, you know, the media is going to be in there. So what the media will do is they'll record this whole thing where all these people are, yay, Obama, clapping and yelling and screaming for him as he says all of this stuff that we know is patently untrue. Nobody will say anything against it because they've been filtered in. That is how they work this. They don't want people sitting there and saying, you lie, you're not telling the truth. That would get on the news because the news media would be there. They don't want that. Oh, my gosh, no, that would be horrible. That would be something that could not be done because it would show that Obama's not popular. So they keep that part of this hidden. They keep that part of this out of there. They keep us out of there so that that cannot happen. Everything that is in there for a reason. So the news media can show a contented crowd with what he's saying. Everyone is contented and happy with what Obama is saying. There's no dissenters anywhere. And then we get that on the weekly news, on the nightly news. Oh, look how everybody was so enamored with Obama and how his speech went over so well with the crowd. Yeah, it sure did, because the crowd was there for him. They kept everybody else out. But that's never told. They never mention that, do they? They never say anything about that. And all you have to do to be kept out is show signs of that you're for capitalism or for lower employment through smaller government, or lower unemployment through smaller government, letting the free market work the way it should work without government intrusion, lower taxes. Any one of these things will keep you out of an Obama event. Which is one of the reasons why I will never ask to be in one of his events, because I will never be accepted. They know for without a doubt that I am against him. I may be just this little fish in the sea here, only one little thing sitting with a few followers who will come and listen to me once a week talk about what Obama and the left is doing wrong in this country. They know about it, whether I am even talked about or not. I am just part of a big problem that they have, and they know that problem is there. They know it's coming at them. They know they don't want us anywhere near their events because we will ruin that idea that nobody ever opposes Obama. Nobody ever opposes Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi, who is now acting like she's, again, the Speaker of the House, which was something I was going to talk about this week. And I started reading up on those things, and it just made me sick. I just couldn't do it. I'd have probably thrown up all over the microphone, and then we'd have had to stop the show, and everything would have been bad because whatever. But that's all we have to do, folks, is just let them know that we're conservatives. We love America. We love the Constitution. We want this country followed with the Constitution, the way it was laid out. And we will always be banned from seeing Obama. Well, which actually that's kind of a good thing, isn't it? I wouldn't mind being banned from seeing Obama. I don't want to see him in the first place. I know that everything he's going to say is going to be a downright lie. He is going to lie to right to my face, and he'll know he's lying. I will know he's lying, and I will say something about it. So he doesn't want that around. The only people he wants around are people who will agree with him. Hence the media always being there. Not the media like The Blaze or someone who will not follow the things that the media always falls in with, you know, the talking points that they, even Fox falls into them. So if they show up, it doesn't really matter because they still fall into those same talking points, even though they will report the other side. But programs like mine that will not fall into those talking points are the ones that will always be pushed away and pushed to the side when it comes to Obama and the left, because we will never follow the ways that they want.
As traditional Americans who believe in conservative values, we will fight for our rights to be free. And because of that, the Infidel will be right back after these short messages.
The opinions, views, and ideas expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on conservativenationradio.org are exclusively their own and are not necessarily the opinions, views, and ideas of the owners, advertisers, management, or staff of conservativenationradio.org. Thank you for listening to conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives.
Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to these essentials is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio, one word, .org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
From LadyPatriots.com came this one titled, Obama and Holder, Nothing Phony About These Two Most Vile of Men, by Diane Sori. So I'm mad. No. I'm furious. No. Actually, I'm seething just thinking about our miserable excuse of a president saying that the series of supposed scandals that keeps hounding his administration are phony. phony scandals done for political posturing, he called them, in Wednesday's economic address in Galesburg, Illinois. The NSA scandal, the IRS scandal, the AP and Fox News reporter scandal, and let's not forget the infamous Fast and Furious scandal, all are nothing but a joke to him. Scandals supposedly manufactured by Republicans just to throw a wrench into his agenda, into his presidency, and into his legacy. Supposed scandals. Nothing. Supposed. There's nothing supposed about them, and none of them are phony. None. And while those scandals made me mad, infuriated in fact, how dare Barack Hussein Obama call the four he left behind to be murdered in Benghazi a phony scandal? I dare not put in writing what I'm thinking, but I think my dear readers can easily figure it out for this man. This administration, so arrogant, so full of themselves, so hateful of all things America, so hateful of all things constitutional, so hateful of all things moral and decent, for this miserable excuse of a president and his equally miserable administration breeds nothing but corruption, divisiveness, and hate, cleverly hidden behind subterfuge at all levels of government. And following on the heels of this Obama audacity of teleprompted statement, yesterday race-baiting, white-hating AG Eric Holder in a dispute over new voting boundaries drawn up by the Republican legislature in Texas had the nerve to announce while speaking at the National Urban League Conference in Philadelphia that the DOJ will ask a federal court to reinstate its authority over all Texas voting laws. Claiming doing so will challenge state and local election laws he believes discriminate by race. He claims that Texas has a history of pervasive voting-related discrimination against racial minorities. Holder is actually ignoring a Supreme Court ruling that stated that while long ago this might have been true, it no longer is. Also by saying, based on evidence of international racial discrimination that was presented last year in the redistricting case of Texas versus Holder, we believe that the state of Texas should be required to go through a pre-clearance process whenever it changes its voting laws and practices. Do you see this coming in any of the states? Indiana? I see it coming here because Eric Holder does not care what the states do, because what the states do is wrong if it goes against him. If it goes against Obama, it's wrong. So he has the duty, according to him, to move in and use the federal government as the way to change things. Eric Holder has now put himself as an authority higher than that of the U.S. Supreme Court. The article by Ms. Sori is right, and she ends it with in the right way here. We need to not forget any of these scandals, because even though Obama and Holder say both say publicly that they are false, they also scare the hell out of them and the whole liberal left in our government. And the one that scares them the most. Why, folks, here's how the article ends. Never mind any of that, for all that matters to Barack Hussein Obama is that no matter what he or Eric Holder say or what they do, nothing can take we the people's focused attention and demand for answers away from his supposed scandal of all scandals, the anything but phony scandal that Obama fears the most, the scandal called Benghazi. Benghazi, as in, can you say treason? I can. We the people can, and he damn well knows it. Amen to that one. That is the reason why that Obama and the left and Holder and Carney and all of them have these little talking points that make sure that we forget what is really important here. He thinks that he can stop things and stop it from happening and stop it from being put out on the air. But he can't. ConservativeNationRadio.org is growing, and there's nothing the Obama administration can do about it. I have a phone call, 817. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Calling in to, I'm doing well, Just calling in to say good job on the show today. Tomorrow, Bing and I have a great show lined up. We're going to do a roundtable show. We'll be discussing taking a look at the past week's news, looking ahead to the week upcoming, talking perhaps some possible Ted Cruz for 2016. Might be looking that
That'd
way,
be cool.
as well as the other news that's been happening this week on Southern Patriotism. That's at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time here on the ConservativeNationRadio.org, which is the mouthpiece for TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. Robert, doing a great show on the radio today. I was enjoying listening to it.
Yeah, I've actually had a lot of fun today because I found some really good talking points that ended up to be fantastic monologues, and that's something that I don't do that well, but today I've had fun with it.
Well, I caught you saying, even the Obama administration can't stop CNR from growing, and you nailed it on the head. We're growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, it's just amazing the growth that we're going under, the changes that are coming up for Conservative Nation Radio. We're going to be looking to encompass all forms of media. Very exciting times, very exciting times. And you're right, the Obama administration, liberal policies, they we're also going to be talking Detroit. Another failed model of socialist policies, and yet nobody seems to learn from it. So you're absolutely right. The left, they talk a good game. They're trying to stifle talk from the right, but it isn't happening.
Yeah. Well, if you want to, if you're going to be doing something on Detroit, I did a post on my blog at wiseconservatism.com on Detroit, and I did a video on there that just really opens up my eyes, and it's worth going there to look at. It's 13 minutes long, but it just doesn't seem like it because it's full of information that just blew me away.
Sounds good, brother. All right, go ahead and pardon me so I can listen to the end of the show, and thanks for letting me get in here to promote tomorrow's show here on the ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Oh, you're welcome. Good to have you on the show. Okay, the leftist media would like us, like conservatives like us, to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by a 2-to-1 margin, according to numerous polls, even ones by the liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you called to call home on the Internet. It's TraditionalAmericanMovement.com, or TradAM, as we call our home. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement, one word, .com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAM is a liberal, free website, and we are having a lot of fun here. Here's another one.
Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, shows that for every job the administration says it's created, two Americans have been added to the food stamp rolls. Oh, we're just kicking butt taking names, aren't we? In January 2009, 32,204,859 Americans received SNAP aid. A staggering number. That's 10% of the population, damn near. But as of April 2013, there were 47,548,694, which is well in excess of 10%.
Now, that was from the Garrison Show here on, in Indianapolis on WIBC, where that audio came, showing just what our president thinks he is getting away with. The story came from my blog, which was taken from WIBC's website on Garrison's show, titled, and I titled the post, "Our Successful President, Here is His Successes." Now, I was listening to the Garrison show on WIBC this morning, and he was talking about how the Obama administration is ballyhooing the fact that the new job numbers out this week tell of a rousing success for his administration in the unemployment numbers. The new numbers show 7.42 million new jobs created. But there is a dark side about all this that the administration of the Obama nation will not talk about because it throws all his successes right down the toilet and flushes them. What is it, you may ask? Well, I have the numbers for you. Out of the jobs that Obama administration says they created, a total of 7.42 million jobs. Now, on the surface, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But he is leaving out the rest of the story. Out of the 7.42 million jobs created, SNAP, which is the food stamps recipients, have grown at twice that amount. For every one person who got a job, two people went on to food stamps. Now, I don't know about you folks, but to me, that is not success. That is complete failure. And if Obama has the cojones to tell the American people a lie that big, then he is not the person we need in the White House. Of course, I've always felt like that and felt that way. So creating 7 million jobs to this president while putting 14 million on food stamps is a success. No wonder this country is in trouble. Do you people on the left see what is happening now? God, I hope so, because our nation is in bad trouble. Those that follow the Obama nation are part and parcel of the problem. Our problems arise from the fact that our media will get invitations from Obama to his speeches and things he wants to say, and no one says anything to counter what he says, because he keeps them all out. He is touting his successes with unemployment numbers, yet conveniently leaves out the numbers that really tell the story of how his successes here are really a failure for our nation. We have to start reading between the lines here and realizing that our president is always, always lying to us. Even when part of what he says is the truth, it is always included with a lie that has to be researched to find out about. Our nation's future depends on us realizing just that. And I'm running a little late here, but that's okay. Okay.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Al Sharpton thinks we conservatives are the enemy, but we all know that isn't true. The real enemies of America is the liberal left. Stay tuned for the final segment of our show.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farag, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue skies.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to the New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding on Conservative Nation Radio.
Okay, for all those who believe or still believe that the Republican equals constitutionalists and Democrats equals liberty-hating liberals, something happened on Capitol Hill that might change your mind. As was reported by the New American, the House of Representatives narrowly defeated an amendment to the defense appropriations sponsored by Republican Congressman Justin Amash of West Michigan and Democratic Congressman John Conyers, also of Michigan. The Amash amendment would have revoked authority for the blanket collection of records under the Patriot Act. It would also bar the NSA and other agencies from using Section 215 of the Patriot Act to collect records, including telephone call records, that pertain to persons who are not subject to an investigation under Section 215. Despite the threat to the establishment, or perhaps because of it, Amash's measure failed by a vote of 205-217. But it's the identity of the ayes and nays that tell the rest of the story. In an analysis of the roll call reveals that a majority of Democrats voted in favor of restricting the Obama administration's wholesale surveillance of Americans, while a majority of the GOP voted to uphold the NSA's unconstitutional surveillance of all electronic communications. Though the final tally was close, the fix was in. In a rare demonstration of meddling in the making of the legislative sausage, the White House issued a statement warning in not-so-elegant language that a vote for the Amash amendment was a vote for terrorism. Yeah. In the statement published on the White House website, Press Secretary Jay Carney, that idiot again, said, referring to the Amash amendment in light of recent unauthorized disclosures, the president has said that he welcomes a debate about how best to simultaneously safeguard both our national security and the privacy of our citizens. Two things, people, that the president's not interested in. Does the president really welcome a debate? By their fruits ye shall know them. Ever since the documents leaked by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden shined the light of disclosure into the shadowy activities of the surveillance apparatus that has categorized every citizen as a suspect, the White House has furiously and rabidly attacked Snowden. Perhaps nicotine wipes the short-term memory, and the president has forgotten calling Snowden a traitor and calling for him to be held accountable for the harm he caused national security. In the spirit of bipartisanship, however, it's not as if the Republicans fell over each other, standing up for the Constitution and oaths they swore to uphold. The list of Republicans joining the chorus of voices voting, calling a vote for the Amish amendment a vote for radical Islam is impressive and instructive. Representative Mike Rogers of Michigan voted against his colleague from the Wolverine state, protecting the power of the NSA to snoop on anyone at any time for any reason. And how about Tea Party darling Representative Michelle Bachmann? She stood up against liberty, warning her fellow Republicans that if federal government surveillance powers were curtailed, Islamic Jihad would go unchecked, leaving the homeland vulnerable to attacks of al-Qaeda and its associates. Amish rightly regards the threat from the extremists on the Potomac to be greater than that posed by those on the Tigris and Euphrates. Besides, Amish tweeted, "The government doesn't fear Muslim terrorists. They fear you." And that is so very, very true. Democrats, again, don't be surprised by this, defended Amash, lining up behind the young constitutionalist, which kind of goes against the way that we thought they would, doesn't it? But I think what's going on here is that the government seems to be really good at saying things the way they want to say them so that it sounds good to the rest of us. And then they put other things in there that are good for the country, but most of them are not. No, I didn't, Duke. I didn't get that link. I wasn't even watching the chat room, actually, until just now. But whether a federal lawmaker takes on the task of demolishing the entire surveillance skyscraper remains to be seen. That sort of quixotic endeavor requires a stiff spine and a political abandon that few denizens of the Potomac possess. What is certain, however, is that the members of the party of power... members of the party of power, whether identified by an R or a D after their name, will continue colluding with the executive and judiciary branches to protect the authority amassed in the name of safety. We are at the end of the show now, and this is Robert the Infidel Garding with this edition of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard here on conservativenationradio.org. Remember, again, that's the growing network that Obama can't stop. We now have a show every day of the week with the new show on Thursday. Sunday nights is Soldiers of Patriotism with Bing Fisher and Michael Smith. On Monday is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Tuesday night are the Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Wednesday is Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. Thursday is our new show, Second Amendment Forum with Paul Cibula. And I hope you listen to it coming to us on the 1st. And on Friday is the Chris Manti Show. And, of course, yours truly on Saturdays. Until next week, have a safe week and a good day. And I hope you're all here next week. See you later. God bless. God bless you all.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.